Good morning and welcome to St Columba's Deir Volga here on the Belsize Road. It's wonderful you're able to join us online as again, once again, our in-person gatherings have stopped. With the rise of the R number and COVID-19 in our community, the decision has been taken that our in-person gatherings are to cease until at least the 6th of February. So we'll be joining with everybody online over the next few weeks. My name's James and I'll be leading us through our service today. I want to start with a verse of scripture. It comes from Psalm 121. It says this, "I lift up my eyes to the hills, and where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, who is the maker of heaven and of earth." In these days, we often look for guidance. We often look for answers. That Psalm's encouraging us to lift our eyes up to the hills. The hills were a place that the people would have placed pole, Asherah poles or statues to false gods. And so the traveller walking through the district would have cast his eyes to the hills to see that god and would have went to pray before that particular statue or that idol for whatever it was that god was supposed to help them with. And the psalmist is saying, I lift up my eyes to those false gods. And where does my help come from? It doesn't come from them. My help comes from the maker of heaven and earth, the eternal God that we have come to worship today. Isn't that wonderful? That even today we can worship the one who knows who we are and where we are and can speak into our very situation. Let me pray as we begin. Father God, we thank you for the opportunity to come together, to gather as God's people, to hear your word read and proclaimed, to sing your praise, to confess our sins, and indeed, Lord, to open our hearts before you, to lay our burdens down at your feet, to pray for ourselves, our families, our community, and our nation at this time. And so we thank you that the present one, the eternal one, is present with us in this moment. In Jesus' name, amen. Today we begin a brand new series, Sunday series called Faith Under Fire, where we're going to look at the book of Daniel over the next number of weeks. We'll come to that a little bit later on. But one of the elements and key elements in the book of Daniel is that Daniel walked closely with God. How do we do that? Well, regularly in our Anglican tradition, one of the things that we do as we gather together as a community is that we confess our sins corporately and collectively together, recognizing that we are not God, recognizing that we in our humanity need God's forgiveness. And so that's what we're going to do as we begin today, as we begin this new series. Pray together, Lord God. Lord God, we have sinned against you. We have done wrong in your sight. We are sorry and repent. Have mercy on us according to your love. Wash away our wrongdoing and cleanse us from our sin. Renew your right spirit within us and restore us to the joy of your salvation. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So may the Father of all mercies cleanse us from our sins. Restore us in his image to his praise and to the glory of his name. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Amen. And one of the beauties of gathering together, as I say on a regular occasion, is that we can recite God's word together, a living and active word, that we can join together in saying it, speaking it over ourselves. And in this moment, as I speak it over this particular building and over this parish, you're speaking it over your home and over your family. We're going to join together as we say Psalm 29, and we'll say this by alternate verse today. And we'll have a go at that. Ascribe to the Lord, O heavenly beings. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders, the Lord over many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon. He makes Lebanon skip like a calf and Sirion like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord flashes forth flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord makes a deer give birth and strips the forest bare. And in his temple all cry glory. The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord sits enthroned as king forever. May the Lord give strength to his people. May the Lord bless his people with peace. And we know the Lord will add a blessing to this, his word. I wonder, have you had an opportunity to use one of these things recently? Maybe you've been at school or homeschool and you've had to use your ruler. A ruler is something that we use to measure things, isn't it? It's very handy, it's very helpful, and it's very accurate. It's always true. A ruler doesn't lie, sure it doesn't. A centimetre is a centimetre. 30 centimetres is 30 centimetres. I could try to tell you that I'm 6 foot tall, but if you put a ruler beside me, you would see that that may not be the case, because the ruler doesn't lie. The ruler measures the things that we get up to. Now, this is the second Sunday of the new year. Often in the new year, we make New Year's resolutions. I wonder, have you made a New Year's resolution? And this is the point where you're probably sitting at home, and if you're in a family unit, you're looking around at each other and you're smiling, because some of you will have already been able to keep your New Year's resolution. And for some, maybe that New Year's resolution has already been broken. How do you measure up whether you have been good at what you've promised or not? See, today we're going to look at a guy called Daniel in the Bible. And Daniel was in a place, in a town, in a city that didn't know anything about the God that he worshipped. And so Daniel made a stand. He was teaching those around him how to measure up to what God wanted them to do. Daniel stayed true to who he was and what God had asked him to do. I wonder, could we make a resolution like that? That we remain true to who we are, whose we are, and what God has asked us to do this year. I want to hear God's word read to us now from the book of Daniel.
His reading is from Daniel chapter 1, verses 8 to 20. But Daniel resolved not to defile himself with royal food and wine, and he asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself in this way. Now God had caused the official to show favour and sympathy to Daniel. But the official told Daniel, "I am afraid of my lord and king, who has assigned your food and drink. Why should he see you looking worse than the other young men of your age? The king would then have my head because of you." Daniel then said to the guard whom the chief official had appointed over Daniel, "Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, please test your servants for 10 days. Give us nothing but vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then compare our appearance with that of the young men who eat the royal food, and treat your servants in accordance with what you see." So he agreed to this test and tested them for 10 days. At the end of the 10 days, they looked healthier and better nourished than any of the young men who ate the royal food. So the guard took away their choice food and the wine they were to drink and gave them vegetables instead. To these four young men, God gave knowledge and understanding of all kinds of literature and learning, and Daniel could understand visions and dreams of all kinds. At the end of the time set by the king to bring them in, the chief official presented them to Nebuchadnezzar. The king talked with them, and he found none equal to Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, so they entered the king's service. In every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king questioned them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and enchanters in his whole kingdom.
Thank you to Shirley for reading that to us today. So Faith Under Fire, our new series for the next number of weeks. From the book of Daniel. And Daniel is often remembered as the guy who was in the lion's den. In one sense, a strange story to tell children, that somebody's put it in a kind of a pit with live lions in there as well. What about the friends in the burning furnace? But yet there's so much more to the story of Daniel than just a burning furnace and the lion's den. God's people had been taken by force from the promised land by the superpower of the day, Babylon. Now, that shouldn't have been a shock to them, because Isaiah, Micah and Jeremiah had all prophesied that if they didn't follow God, there would be consequences to it. But the Israelites continued to disobey God, and the consequences came. A long time has now passed. The halcyon days of the promised land and the familiarity of the Jewish culture and customs is now a distant memory amongst the Israelites and God's chosen people. In a sense, they've all but given up on who they are. Does that sound familiar? To the Israelites and the Babylonians alike, it looks as if God is dead. How could Israel come back from this? Well, this is faith under fire. How can you come back from your darkest hour? How can you turn a corner whenever God seems like a distant memory? Well, Daniel and his friends show us that even in our darkest moments, God shows up. And things do not have to stay the way that they currently are. Over the next few weeks, we will see that God gives us new opportunities to demonstrate how we can follow him. Whenever we do what we do, as if we do it unto the Lord, that we can turn the tide. How obedience to and for God can bring blessings down from heaven. Whenever we live a life of integrity, we offer us, our secular world, a positive alternative. This is faith under fire. This is going to be a roller coaster of emotions and challenges over the next number of weeks, but it'll be well worth the ride. And I hope you stay with us on it. You see, throughout the book of the scripture, throughout the Bible, names are really, really important. If you've ever tried to read the Bible all the way through, in a sense, or you flick it open, often you find lots of chapters, lots of passages that are just filled with names. So-and-so begat so-and-so, and they begat so-and-so, and they begat so-and-so, and they gave birth to so-and-so, and he was the father of him, and actually often filled with names that seem unpronounceable. And so we inadvertently kind of skip over those passages. But actually, genealogies are really important. Names are really important in the story of God's people, because names give individuals identity and authority in this culture. Their identity, their proof of who they are, their standing in their community comes because of their lineage, who they've been a part of, who their family is, who their ancestors are. And so names are really, really important. And just before Shirley started reading today, we hear these words in verse 6. Among these were some from Judah: Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. The chief official gave them new names. To Daniel, he said, Belteshazzar; to Hananiah, Shadrach; to Mishael, Meshach; and to Azariah, Abednego. These Jewish people, followers of God, in a distant land, in a foreign culture, who have been chosen to become part of the king's household, they would enter into 3 years of extreme training to ensure that they could be the best that they could possibly be. They were given new names. Their identity of who they were, whose they were, was stripped away from them. Yet Daniel knew what was important, because actually, in the records of the story of Daniel, it doesn't say that Daniel kicked up a fuss about his name being changed. He seemed to have accepted his name change quite easily. And maybe we were asking the question, why? Well, we don't know, in one sense, why. We can speculate, in a sense, why he didn't kick up a fuss about his name being changed whenever that seems so important to the Jewish people, and indeed to us. But you see, Daniel knew what was important, and so he chose his battleground. And I think that's why he didn't kick up a fuss about his name, because Daniel chose his battles wisely. And you and I need to choose our battles wisely. Because that's really important. Fighting the wrong battle will extend and expel your energy like never before. Daniel knew that there was more battlegrounds to come. That in one sense, he could cooperate with the culture around him in certain areas, but he was not going to compromise on the things that were of vital importance, that were a first order issue for him, if you like. You see, in verse 8 it says this, "But Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine, and he asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself in this way. Now God had caused the official to show favour and sympathy to Daniel. The official told Daniel, I am afraid of my lord and king who has assigned you food and drink. Why should he see you looking worse than the other young men of your age? The king would have had my head because of you." See, Daniel sees that his first battleground is about food. Now, that's a battleground for me. Maybe I should go on what is phrased the Daniel diet and just eat vegetables for 10 days and see how I get on with that. But Daniel saw this as a battleground because if you hear what he said in verse 8, but Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the king's food. And the king's food was a lovely big banquet filled with all the delicacies of the day. The best food that could be found in the kingdom was brought for these young men who were brought into the king's household being trained. And so they were being fed so they could be at their fittest and at their best mentally. And Daniel said, I don't want that because that stuff is only going to define me. Why? Well, actually, whenever the food was brought into the king's palace and was cooked, the first part of the food was sacrificed to false gods and to idols. Daniel did not want to defile himself with something that had paid tribute to a false god. He wanted to stay true to his God, or God, the one and only God. And so he made this his first battleground. And he did it with faith. He said, look, to the official, he said, look, don't give me any of that. Just give me vegetables. And the official was really nervous, obviously, because he thought, well, these four boys are going to be like skin and bones by the time this is finished. And the king's going to notice it, and he's going to have my head for it. Daniel said, test us. That's what he said in verse 11. And Daniel said to the guard whom the chief official had appointed over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, please test your servants for 10 days. Give us nothing but vegetables to eat and water to drink, and then compare our appearance with that of the young men who eat the royal food, and treat your servants in accordance with what you see. And so he agreed to this and tested them for 10 days. Daniel knew that if he chose the correct battleground that brought honour and glory to his God, that his God would honour him and would allow him to thrive in that moment. Daniel, note this, Daniel did not ask that the Lord would remove him from this culture. Daniel did not ask that the Lord would remove him from the king's palace. Daniel looked at the situations around him and he cooperated with the bits that he could work with, but he did not compromise on the bits that would defile his God. He drew a line in the sand. Where do you need to draw your line? Preacher included, as that question is asked, where do I need to draw my line in the sand? Should I no longer defile myself, but I bring glory and honour to the God that I worship? Daniel didn't wait to see if God was going to show up. Daniel didn't hedge his bets and say, God, if you are able to do this, then I might do this. Or God, if I do this, then could you do that? No, Daniel stepped forward. He drew the line in the sand and he stood by that line and he said no more. And what was the result? Look at verse 15. At the end of the 10 days, they looked healthier and better nourished than any of the young men who had the royal food. So all these other boys, hundreds of these other boys, were all eating the best food, and Daniel and his three mates were tucking into vegetables. And they looked better than the others. Why? Because God was with them. God was honouring them for the stand that they were taking. Now, we need to be true and honest with ourselves and with the Lord in the stands that we take, and not use that as an excuse to make a stand for something that we know is our stand and not God's stand. Be careful of that. But the question for us today is this. When was the last time you thought about the things that defile you? Honestly. Strategically sat down and thought about the things that defile you. When was the last time you drew a line in the sand to stop them? As I said before, the preachers included, as these questions are asked. Because faith under fire can only be true whenever we take our battlegrounds in the right place, at the right time, and for the right reasons. Daniel was not alone, and we need to note that, because often as we talk about Daniel in the lion's den and so forth, we conjure up Daniel doing all of this on his own, but he didn't. He had his three mates. Now, whenever I was a wee boy, I could never pronounce these words properly. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I couldn't remember them. And somebody said to me, well, if you just remember that it's Yershach, Meshach, and a bungalow, then you'll remember who Daniel's three friends were. Yershach, Meshach, and a bungalow. Meshach, Shadrach, and a bungalow. Abednego. I'm even saying it now. But he had three friends who he went through this with. Who are you doing life with? Who are you journeying with? Who are you bearing your soul to? Who is holding you up as you walk the line? Now, if you need to have a conversation, to talk some stuff through, if you want some help in putting some of those accountability things in place, please do get in contact with me. Life groups kick off again this Wednesday night. Life groups are a place where we can explore God's word, and where we can do life together, and where we can journey with each other, and where we can help and encourage and pray for each other. Just after this service, you'll see a link on our Facebook page where you can sign up to join our life groups, and you'll get more information about that. But you see, whenever the four of them stood firm, whenever they stood firm, looked up, and walked closely with God, things started to happen. Look at verse 17. To these four young men, God gave knowledge and understanding of all kinds of literature and learning, and Daniel could understand visions and dreams of all kinds. And that was the beginning of the story that carries us through till today. Because verse 18, at the end of the time set by the king to bring them in, the chief official presented them to Nebuchadnezzar. The king talked with them, and he found none equal to Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. And so they entered the king's service in every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king questioned them. He found them 10 times better than the magicians and enchanters in his whole kingdom. They knew where not to compromise. They drew a line in the sand, and God placed them in a position of opportunity for his glory and for his honour, as we'll see in the next few weeks. So you don't have to be stuck. You don't have to feel overwhelmed or believe that things can't change. When your faith is under fire, stand firm, look up, and walk closely with God. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that you are indeed with us today. That on our moments of faith, in our journey of faith with you, we thank you that you are present with us, and that we are not made to do this alone, but that we can do it with others. And on this, the first Sunday after the Epiphany, we thank you that you sent your Son, who at his baptism revealed to us that he was your Son. You anointed him with the Holy Spirit. So grant to us that are born of water and the Spirit, that we may be faithful to your calling as your adopted children. Lord, help us. Help us to be your hands and your feet in this community. Lord, as we look out into a world that seems to be so messed up and in distress and unsure of what the future looks like, may we carry your presence of hope and of peace into that situation. Lord, help us, inspire us, show us by your Spirit where the line in the sand is for each one of us, where we can bring glory to you, where we can shine a light on you. And so we pray for those who are lonely or afraid. Pray for those who are unwell, at home or in hospital. Pray for those who are bereaved, remembering especially the Fraser family today as they lay Eileen to rest tomorrow. But Lord, as we step into this new phase of lockdown, we pray for our doctors and nurses, for the scientists and medical officials who are currently working around the vaccines, developing them, producing them, and rolling them out across our community. Pray for all frontline workers and whatever aspect or job that they do. Lord, we also want to specifically remember two groups of people today. Remember the frontline staff in our hospitals who are feeling completely overwhelmed in this moment. Give them wisdom and grant them peace in the midst of chaos and busyness. Lord, today we also want to pray for funeral directors who walk the line of compassion at a time that is very difficult with families, especially in the current restrictions. Give them grace and give them wisdom, we pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. So thank you for being a part of our worship today. Thank you for joining us, and we'll be back again next Sunday. All of our gatherings are now online, and so our kids ministry, DVK, begins again this Friday night at 6:30. You can sign up for that or get in contact with us if you don't really have a link for that. We'll send out a new email to those who are regularly participating in that this week. But if you haven't done that before and you want to be a part of that for primary school children, please do get in contact. Our young people are gathering again this Friday night again. They've been gathering way back since October time as we refresh and renew a ministry amongst our teenagers. And so they're launching something new coming this Friday night. It starts at 8 p.m. 8 p.m. At this Friday night. And again, they'll get a link for that. If you don't have that, please do get in contact with us and we can get you that. As mentioned previously already in our service, our life groups are online this Wednesday night from 8 p.m. And again, get in contact if you need a link for that. You can still sign up to pray for Deira Volge as we're beginning to send out new updates for that. And you'll find that link again in our Facebook page or on our website. But please do stay safe and stay connected. And if you need to get in contact in any way, it's info@deravolgi.com or 028 9252 8242. And well, if we can help, we will try our best to do so. But as we conclude, we hear from the Apostle Paul today in Romans chapter 15 and verse 13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And may the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit rest upon each one of us this day and forevermore. Amen. Amen.